Welcome back, everyone. It is the Me Too We Talk podcast. And yes, it is the Truth Serum series, where we promise to tell you the truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Thank you all for coming back to the Me Too We Talk podcast.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be back. We've missed you. And I don't know if you haven't been able to tell, but I was suffering from a bit of laryngitis for a little bit over a month, okay? You guys, I was traveling for work. I was going on vacations with my husband, and I literally lost my voice for a little bit.
You sound less like a little boy than you ever did. You sound better.
I sound like a boy.
I sound like I had a little boy in my house. a fourth little boy.
You ain't right. You are not right.
I love you, though. I love you through it.
You love
but
me
we sincerely,
it.
We thank you all. If you're checking back in, we thank you for coming back.
Yes.
And if you're new to the program, welcome home.
Uh-huh. And for those of you, if this is your first time listening to us, let me tell you what this podcast is all about.
Yes.
We're all about helping marriages, couples, and those that are seeking seriously dating relationships move from me to we, one couple at a time.
Amen.
And all we ask, if you want to subscribe to be a part of this tribe, all you got to do is listen to that notification button right there. And then now you can be a part of the team.
Yes.
Now you know whenever we have a notification of when the episode is coming back on. And it's so funny, the way we even came about this is because so many people were, you know, almost believing the worst. Like, they were like, are y'all done?
You finished?
Is this done? Are you over with? And stuff like that. And, you know, even though we said it wasn't happening, we still kept getting those messages. And they kept on saying, where are you at? But you said you were only going to be gone at this point. The show must be done. The show must be over, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, with all that being said, I have never felt so much more love.
Amen.
And I guess that it's going to bring us to our title, which you will love, but it is called Believe What You Want to Believe.
Facts. Facts. People are going to believe what they want to believe.
Yes.
And sometimes they believe what's easier to believe, too.
Yes. And, you know, and we thought about that. It didn't matter what we said, but the belief was it's got to be the worst with some people. Other people thought, hey, something's going on with our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. It was something going on with our relationship. It was good, you know?
We were kindling the fire. Come on.
He had me hollering, and now I lost my voice.
Not
like that. Don't say that.
I ain't say nothing.
I know where you were going.
You the one saying things that been saying stuff. I'm just like, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee.
Well, let me give you guys a little bit of something. So we even found this in the Urban Dictionary. You guys know, if you are returning to listen to us again, believe what you want to believe in the Urban Dictionary. And you know we love it so much. But it says this: if you're going to claim to tell it like it is, then tell it like it really is.
Mm.
You know, and it's believe what you want to believe. That's what it means. And so it's like a spin on it. It's saying no matter what I say, you're going to do and you're going to believe what you want to believe. And sometimes you're going to see what you want to see, you know? So, you know, there was this wonderful statement that was saying in Psychology Today. And I want to give you guys a scenario, too. And then we'll go into why this was so powerful for us. But in Psychology Today, the author of this particular article is called You End Up Believing What You Want to Believe. Is by Art Markham, PhD, and it's called Ulterior Motives.
Mm.
And he said in here, in the actual article, You End Up Believing What You Want to Believe. He's basically saying that there is a bias in your interpretation of evidence toward what you desire.
Mm.
And so he was saying it was this friend of his that just the other day had written this article. And I'll read it to you the way he said it. And I just found this hilarious and kind of was like, oh, this is it. But it said, just yesterday, one of my colleagues posted a link to a paper from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, published in 2010, that analyzed data from a number of studies involving almost 350,000 people. The analysis suggests there is no significant relationship between heart disease and eating saturated fats. He seemed excited about this result, presumably because it supported his desire to eat fatty foods.
Right.
It is also nice to discover that something you hoped were really true is true, but can you desire for an answer affect the way you evaluate the evidence? And his belief, yes, okay? And we believed it too, but I just thought it was so hilarious because he was like, yeah, he just wanted to believe. I went and I found evidence that supported what I've always wanted to believe.
There you go. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. The fact is, online nowadays, mm-hmm. if you want to prove something, you can prove it.
Yep.
You can find somebody that agrees with you and what you're trying to prove.
Exactly.
But it all comes back to, is that source credible though?
Yeah, but you know what? The source could be very much credible, but at the same time, if you're not looking for the full picture, right? If you're not looking for the truth, or if you're looking for one side of the story, mm-hmm. guess what? You'll believe whatever you want to believe, and you'll just lean to that one side of whatever they're saying because it's convenient. It's easy. You can lean into that.
Agree. And you know what's funny? As we're talking about this and you're saying it back to me,
yeah.
it references something that you had in one of your classes like the other week.
Yes.
Where it was something biases. I can't remember what it was called. Was that what it was?
It's called confirmation bias.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And me, and so, oh, so you guys, I don't know if I told you, I'm back in school, right?
Yeah. I'm dating a college girl.
Yes.
Hey. Come on now.
Oh my God. Stop. You're going to make me lose.
Let's go in the yard.
So, and that's another factor. That's what was another part of the snowball effect, right? But yeah, going back to school, and Connell, when I'm doing my homework assignments, I go over these assignments with Connell, and I'll say, "Oh, what do you think of this? What I'm writing?" And he'll say, "Oh, that's good. Like, what is that? What are you talking about?" And so we were talking about confirmation bias, and it was like in alignment with when people did not believe when we said we were coming back, you know? They didn't believe we were doing it. They just couldn't believe that all these things were just like, hey, we just took a break.
Yeah, good things.
A good thing. You know, yeah. They couldn't believe any of the good things. They just wanted to believe the bad. And then I started to get, you know, concerned, but it was literally talking about in confirmation bias, how you will go out, seek out all the information that supports your theory, right? Mm-hmm. So that you will have something, but not opening up the full picture.
Facts.
And me and Connor was like, this is exactly what everybody was saying. They weren't looking at the pictures we had online from us going to Hawaii, right? They weren't. And then if we didn't post it quick enough, then they were like, oh, they didn't really go or something. Like, it was just always something. And you always have to, I would always tell you guys this, you need to be careful of people who don't want to believe the best for you.
Say that.
I'm serious. And that can be anyone. That can be your family. That can be your friends. That could be your coworkers. It could be your spouse.
It could be you.
Yes. You could believe the worst for you. You know, it's almost like a self-sabotage in a sense where you want to literally believe the worst. Like you're assuming the worst about your spouse because it's something rooted in negativity.
No, you're right. Because what happens is, like, if you believe the worst in people, then how can you believe the best in yourself? You know what I'm saying? That's how that self-sabotaging happens, because I believe the worst in you. So people can't be all this. People can't be that. Nobody can love me like this, that, and
come
the other.
Come on now.
Or friend or husband or wife or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, you're self-sabotaging the whole situation because your confirmation biases is telling you it can't be this good.
Right.
Like, it just can't be. Like, they can't be that happy.
Uh-huh.
You know, and things of that nature. And it's hard for people to believe the best in people sometimes when in some cases they've been disappointed themselves.
Yeah, you know, I think about in Isaiah, I do the ESV version on this particular version, but you guys can get whatever you would like. But it said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. And so it's like, you know, you want to believe the worst rather than the best, right?
Right.
You see the dark rather than you see the light, you know? And you believe what you want to believe. So that causes people, you have to, and we're talking now about marriages again, if you have people around you that want to lean in and believe the worst about your marriage, believe the worst about your situation, or believe the worst just in general about you, and they're supposed to be close to you, watch your back, literally. You know, like, watch it, because those people don't really want the best for you. They have a negative internal thought, and sometimes people wish for your demise when they're really not happy with their own, you know.
Yes.
I'm not trying to hurt y'all, but you know who you are. And if you're listening and you're getting a feeling and you want to turn off the podcast, well, you know what? Listen just a little bit longer on this one, because we're not trying to correct you. We're just more trying to connect with you, right?
We're not trying to discourage you. We want to encourage you.
Yeah, there you go, baby.
The truth will set you free, right?
It really will. Isn't that what it says? And we want you to make sure you're not a participant in negativity. And it's real easy to do so. And you want people who are rooting for you. Now, what if you are the spouse believing the absolute worst about your mate? Because it's just easy to do. And I want you to think about that for a second. Like, why would you assume the absolute worst about your mate? Like, believing what you want to believe instead of just looking at the fact. If someone can just come to you and say anything and lean into your mate, your relationship is doomed from the start. It really is. It doesn't take much to put you off track if you hear or see something negative. Think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have to think about where that perception is. Perception is reality to some people, right? And it picks up momentum over time, right? And so if you're sitting there, you're believing this, and you're like, ooh, they said this, then the next time you'll find another clue, and you'll say, they must be doing this. And then something that was meant to be one little thing becomes over and over the other, and then it literally is a snowball effect. And we don't want something to gain speed over time.
Agreed.
Because it's starting off in negativity.
Agreed.
You know?
On some level, as you're saying all this, I'm trying to think, like, what does it stem from? Because in my mind, to me anyway, I want to say it starts at the early age. Because it has to come from somewhere, right? Where somebody might have disappointed you.
Yeah.
And so you start believing what you want to believe about this particular person.
Yeah.
And that carries over to another person who might show those same traits.
Yes.
And it's just, again, it becomes a snowball effect.
Yeah, like, this
person reminds you of that person who disappointed you, and that person, you know, and you start interweaving. But if you think about it, the one common denominator in all of this is you.
Yeah.
So
it is.
Again, it starts with you.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to check yourself and why you're thinking these ways.
Yeah, think about that. Like, start, like what Connell said, like narrow it down to an incident or a moment or a season in time. Like, what was that moment that started where you started to believe the worst in people and not wanted to see the best in people, you know?
Or benefit of the doubt.
You don't want to give people the benefit of the doubt, because you know what? It's easy for you to hate that person, dislike that person, not to believe that person. You want to believe. So you believe that, and you had no evidence, nothing. You had no facts whatsoever.
And think about the fact that you know that person's character.
Ooh.
And something comes about, and then you start believing what you want to believe
yes.
about them, but wholeheartedly knowing that doesn't seem like them.
Yeah.
So why is it in this one instance, like, you know me, we've grown up together, we've been around each other, our kids kick it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of snowballing it all together.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you know what I'm about and what I'm not about, so why would you believe what you want to believe in this one case and not give me the benefit of the doubt, or not even consider my side of the story?
Ooh.
Because that's another thing that happens, because when they don't get your side of the story, they start making up their own story.
Ooh.
And then that story, like you were just saying earlier, it picks up steam.
Yes, it does.
And it gets out there, and then to some people that becomes the truth.
Yeah. That's where you get that whole saying, that what did Kellyanne Conway, alternative facts. You know, you want alternative facts. You don't want the facts, you want alternative. It doesn't fit my narrative. So
right.
I want this. But you have to think about that. If it's conflicting evidence from something that you know to be true, right? Then you need to ask yourself, do you interpret biases as truth, right? Do you it doesn't matter if you have the evidence. You're saying, you know what? This means that, you know, I don't believe in the weight of the evidence. I just believe in my position more. I believe in what I feel more. I believe in what, you know, it just could be. And honestly, I kind of want to believe it. That's when it gets really bad. You know, that's when you turn a blind eye to the truth, because it just doesn't feel good. I want you to be just as bad as me. I want you not to be as good as I really were. Or you could be projecting altogether.
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah.
You're projecting something towards somebody else. Because again, what's the common denominator? You are that common denominator. So you start projecting that out into the world, and then, like, that truth becomes reality. And then in some cases, like we said, it could be something even more, because unfortunately, in some cases, it can be a little mental.
Yeah.
Like, just being honest about the simple fact that people mentally aren't where they need to be,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they have these alternative facts or these projections or these or
judgments. It's just
like you totally make up the story in your own head, and that has to be the truth, because in your mind you saw it, you know, saw it as it is.
It's what we call false positives, right?
Ooh.
It's like you want to believe it, so even though it's a falsehood, you want to believe it. Now that goes down to, like, I would just say, you know, sometimes you could be envious or jealous of someone. I'm not saying that that's the case in what we were experiencing, but we want to tell you that there are people around you that want to believe the worst, right? Facts. They don't, they can't possibly love you if they think that way. And we're just trying to encourage you in that way. And it takes me back to 1 John 4:1. Again, I'll do ESV again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Amen. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Like, what we're saying is this. I want you to really think of that word. Like, don't believe everything that comes. You don't have to entertain every spirit that comes in your way. Facts. You don't have to entertain it. But if you want to entertain it, again, it's because you want to entertain it. Yeah, you know,
that's the, no, wholeheartedly, that's the truth. You're mm-hmm. right.
And you have to understand that. So what we're encouraging you all to do is this. If you have people in who tend to lean to the negative, the root of that situation is you might really want to take a really good look at that relationship. Even in your marriage, if you are that person that tends to believe the absolute worst about your spouse, okay, now we got to talk about this. We got to figure out a way how we can change the climate of that relationship where you just don't see the absolute worst in them, you know.
Amen.
You know, because again, remember we said it will not take that much to throw your relationship off track.
Facts.
If you believe the absolute worst and you don't believe in God 100%, like you don't, like if you sit around and you say to your mate, I believe that it's just not going to go right. I believe it's going to go bad. I believe that they might do this and this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will make it happen because you've spoken out. And that word, when God said, and it's in the Bible and it says it clearly, call those things that are not as though they were.
Yes.
You can call the good things in life that are not as though they were. But if you don't watch it, you can call those bad things in life that are not as though they were. You've made it a reality just by saying it.
That's really good, baby. You're right. Call those things that are not as though they were.
Yeah.
But as you're saying that, I'm also thinking about the fact, just from the relationship standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I love you with all my heart, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to disappoint you sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fall short. Ooh. Of hitting that mark.
Okay, preach.
But the easiest thing for you to do is just to forgive me, right?
Right.
Forgive, but don't forget per se, but forgive, because mm-hmm. that's the key to any relationship.
Yeah.
So what happens when I fall short and you can't, and you lean back into like bringing up the old things
mm-hmm.
and things like that, and you fall back on those alternative facts because of my past,
mm-hmm.
when I'm showing you I'm not that person anymore, but yet still you lean back into the negative and what I used to be.
Yeah.
And like, how are we going to grow from that? We can't.
No.
We can't live in the past and say we're going to have a future together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important that, for one, this whole topic, mm-hmm. it really centers around just having communication.
It does.
Instead of just having your own alternative facts, instead of having the own conversation with yourself mm-hmm. and believing what you want to believe,
yeah.
we have to communicate, especially
Absolutely.
In a marriage, in any relationship,
yeah.
business, personal, what have you. Mm-hmm. Communication is going to be essential.
Absolutely.
So whatever you say, I'm not going to take it as Bible, but I'm going to hear you out, and then I got to gauge for myself, because that's when God gives us that discernment.
Yeah.
Like, am I hearing a lie right now, or am I hearing the truth? Am I hearing your heart?
Come on now.
So if I'm hearing your heart and you're telling me what's real, then I can judge for myself.
Yeah.
Versus just not even listening to what you have to say mm-hmm. and judging for myself altogether. Mm. And then where do we go from there?
You're right.
Like, it's such a slippery slope.
It is. That. Well, you got to think about this. It's safe to say that a negative outlook on your spouse is something that is going to reinforce or grow itself over time.
Ooh, yes.
And you really have to watch that. It can turn out one way just because you keep pushing it to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you want to believe it's going to go bad.
Mm.
So it's going to go bad.
Say it. We haven't had this happen, mm-hmm. but I've heard of cases, like, for instance, like, let's say if I didn't trust you or vice
yeah.
versa, right?
Yeah.
And every time you come in, like, where you been? At a certain point, you're not going to want to go home. You're going to go where they think you've been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're pushing you down that road. Like you're saying, self-seeking prophecy.
It is.
Like, you're speaking out of the mouth the heart speaks.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're going to push that person away because you just can't speak good things.
That's true. Well, I'll tell you this. If you're thinking like that and you're only, oh, it's going to go bad. That's a fear-based relationship. It
yeah.
just really is. And I want to be clear with you. There is no fear in love. That is scripture. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment.
Mm.
The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first.
Amen.
Okay. He first loved us. Okay.
Yes.
So over and over, you can sit up here and you can say all these things, you know, like, oh, I love them. But if you love them, you trust them. right?
Yes.
We're not saying that you trust that they are perfect all the time, right? And that, and like my husband said earlier, we're going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail you, right? People are going to fail you. Yes. People are going to let you down. But does that mean all of a sudden now that person is terrible in all of life? Come on.
People will fail you. You are totally right. Mm-hmm. You said that. But you know who won't?
Oh, God. Come on, all day.
Amen. Say it with your chest. Now say it with
He'll
your chest.
He'll never fail you.
And you know what's funny? If you go and talk to him, I bet you get an answer.
Yes.
So you won't be just thinking what you be thinking. So you must listen.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first voice you need. Not your own voice. Right. You listen to his voice. Because God will give you the desires of your heart.
Absolutely.
If you only allow him to.
Yes, he will. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But this is the thing. If you keep on, you can have blessings and cursings come out of your mouth, right? And maybe you really want to curse. You better watch it. Because if you keep calling it out, you'll get it. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know? But if you start speaking life, if you start speaking blessings, if you start seeing the most positive and start relying on what is good, right? What is honorable. Those are the good things that you should lean on. And then you can start believing the best, right? I love that. Instead of, I believe what you want to believe. No, you believe the best. And then you'll get the best. I'm serious. Facts. I'm not saying that, like, just because, you know, everything, you believe the best, that everything's going to turn out perfect. No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying, you know, it's more of a likelihood that you're going to have more positive outcomes if you're starting to seek those positive things, those things worthwhile to think about. And I'm telling you this too, and we're going back and forth, but when we say this, but if you are in a relationship or if you are married, if you're engaged and you just keep finding those negative thoughts when it comes to the person that you're with, I'm first encouraging you to just have a conversation with the Lord and say, and start asking him, like, Lord, where is this coming from?
Yes.
Like, why am I over here looking to reinforce the bad, reinforce the negative? Why do I keep doing this? And I would tell you to just get yourself in a gratitude space. Seriously.
Facts.
Like, get yourself there. Like, every time if you start thinking about all the things that you should be grateful for in your mate, right? It's really hard to start thinking about everything that is bad about your mate, okay? When you start getting into a spirit of thankfulness and an expression of thankfulness, you know, today I'm thankful about my spouse because they were there for me.
Yes.
I'm thankful for my spouse because, you know what? They're not perfect, but you know what? They're perfect for me.
Facts.
You know, it changes.
You are mine.
It will change the atmosphere around your relationship. It will shift your relationship for the better. And again, I want you to just keep on doing a health check on that relationship. Avoid negative talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop worrying about the worst things in life. Start thinking about the good. Okay. And then after that, just start to, like, sit back, relax. Okay. And then just start practicing empathy. And say to your mate, I don't want to think, like, how does my mate feel every time I accuse them every 4 or 5 minutes of the worst?
Yeah.
If I believe the worst, if I lean into the worst, would you ever think that you will ever be good in their sight?
Mm.
You know, come on.
Come on now. Preach, my love. I love it when you come with it. Come on now. I be learning too.
Oh,
but what I take from it myself, though, is, like, not so much think what you want to think, but believe what you see.
Yeah.
And because the standpoint, like, people, what they really do, they'll put their actions behind. What they really say, they'll put their actions behind.
Mm.
So if you say you're going to do it and you follow through on it, I can believe that versus believing what I want to believe in my own mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your actions speak louder than your words.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think back on this time. It was literally during 2020, if I recall. And we had this happy hour that was called I Think Myself Happy. And we did that because we were saying, we're going to, even though the world is falling apart around us, we're going to think positive. And it literally came from the Bible. Because he, like, I think myself happy hour. it was in, it's in the, and I'm going to use the NKJV version, but it's in Acts 26:2, where Paul was standing, you know, before King Agrippa when he was being accused of all these things that he had not done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. So he's saying, you know what? I think myself happy because today I get to speak for myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to just keep everything you're accusing me of. I get to speak for myself.
Say it.
And I'm gonna say I'm happy. in the midst of this. So you can choose to change your atmosphere at any time. And, you know, even though we were coming from a situation where people were assuming the worst for us and our relationship, while we had a small hiatus, well, kind of a medium-sized hiatus, right? We thought ourselves happy. We were really, really happy. And I thank God for that time. And I feel like now we have even more great things to bring to you, because when we are revived and our relationship is strong, then we can give good advice ourselves. I mean, isn't that fair?
No, that's fair all the time, because, you know, I'm here for it, Rhonda, because people, I missed you. I think I missed you more than you missed me. But we're back.
Okay.
Like Mike, we're back, like 96, people. Come on. No, thank you for coming through. And I hope this touched somebody. I hope you felt it. I hope it lays on your heart.
Yes, I hope it did too. And if you ever need anything, you know what to do. You will email us anyway. I mean, literally, did they not? It was so many. I was like, Lord. But we did feel appreciated in that time. So we thank God for you. And we thank you for letting us tell you the truth.
We thank you so much, people, for letting us tell you the whole truth.
And thank you for letting us tell you nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Thank you. And we'll see you next time.